Psalm 42 and verse 10. As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" I want us to consider the subject this morning, "Where is your God?" Before we get into the lesson, I want to welcome everyone. We have a number of visitors. We're so glad you came to be with us. If you have any questions about anything we say or do, feel free to ask any of us. And we hope that you will want to come back again and again. So, where is your God? This verse is the enemy mocking a follower of God. Where's your God? Many times the devil says to the believer, we might be struggling with temptation, where is your God? Many times the world says it, sorrow says it, fear says it, some calamity comes into our life, and people say, where is your God? Why did your God let this happen to you? So it's good to answer this question by the Word of God. Where is your God? He is above us. And I have a number of scriptures, more than I usually do, but they will all be on the screen up here to follow along. He's above us. Deuteronomy 4:39. Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Where is your God? Joshua 2:11. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. This was spoken by Rahab to the spies when they went into Jericho. And she was telling them, we know who your God is. We have heard, we know that when the Israelites came out of Egypt and Pharaoh's army was pursuing them, that you crossed through on dry ground on the Red Sea and your God drowned Pharaoh's army. We know how he was with you in the wilderness. We know how your God defeated Sihon and Og, and it made their hearts melt. And you stop and think about this. The story of them coming out of Egypt, that would have been 40 years ago, because they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But Rahab says, we know about your God. He is God in heaven above and God on earth. He's above us. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writing, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. So he raised him, and raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. You go to the churches that man built, and you go to the cemeteries where those man's graves are, and you know what you're going to find? You're going to find a dead man in that grave. Not so with Christ. Christ was raised from the dead, and he's seated at the right hand in heavenly places. So where's your God? God is above us. God is also around us. Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers him. God is all around us if we are faithful to him. Psalm 125 and verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. That's a beautiful word picture, thinking of Jerusalem and all the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. And David says, that's what it's like with the Lord. He surrounds his people. He's around us. God is around us. 2 Kings 6 and verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That would have been, that's something that would put goosebumps on your arms and everywhere else. To have your eyes open and just see the army of the Lord, chariots of fire all around Elisha. Where is your God? He's around us. Our God is before us. In Exodus 13, verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. In Psalm 68, verse 7, O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Friends, God's power, his presence is everywhere, and it's manifested in certain ways at different times. The pillar of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead the Israelites. When you march through the wilderness, the earth shook. Remember when God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai and the earth rumbled. There was earthquakes. There was lightning. God was before them. You think about the crucifixion and in Jerusalem. And this was something that could not be denied because there were men from 17 different nations, all the nations of the earth, came to Jerusalem for the Passover, that Passover when Christ was crucified. And what happened at that time? There were earthquakes. There were earthquakes around Jerusalem, and the graves were open. And it's interesting, the graves, it talks about the graves being opened when he was crucified and that earthquake. And then when he rose from the dead, you see God's hand in everything, and I don't know if you'd call it a sense of humor or just to drive a point home, but when he raised Christ from the dead, those tombs that were open, the people that were in them were raised, and they came out and into the streets of Jerusalem. Nobody could deny that that was not a miracle, and that was by the hand of God. Where is God? He's above us. He's around us. He's before us. John 8:12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He's a light. As we talked about last week, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. He's a light that leads our way, that shows us how to make it through this world so that we do not walk in darkness. So he's before us. Where is your God? He's behind us. Exodus 14, 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Do you see all of these verses that show that God is everywhere? He's everywhere. And I don't want you to think that, like some people say, that he's in the trees, he's in the ocean, he's here, and that's a whole different concept of God that the Bible does not teach. because we know that God is in heaven, but his presence is around us, as the Bible talks about. Isaiah 30:21, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, God is leading us. God is with us. He's around us. He is behind us. In Isaiah 58:8, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You think about when the sun comes up in the morning, the sunrise, daybreak, your light shall break forth like the morning, and the righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of your Lord shall be your rear guard. When somebody says, where is your God? Do you see how silly it is when they ask that question? God is with those that are faithful to him. He is everywhere. He is beneath us. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, destroy. He's beneath us. When you start to fall, God's there beneath you to catch you. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God is beneath us as our foundation, something to stand on, so we don't waver. We aren't tossed to and fro. Our foundation doesn't shift. It's a solid, firm foundation. He's beneath us. Jude 24 and verse and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. He's beneath us. He's, you know, going through all of these, I get this picture of like a child. When you think about if you had a child that was just learning to ride a bicycle, and what would you do? You would hover all around them. You didn't want them to fall, didn't want them to hurt themselves. God is all around us. He is with us. He is with us. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. When God made that promise to Abraham and he was with Abraham's seed, he was with them all the time. Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Again, the words that Isaiah uses, when you pass through the waters, a reference to when the Israelites came out of Egypt and crossed through the Red Sea. And through the rivers, a reference to when they were going to enter into the land of Canaan and they had to cross the Jordan, and it was during flood season. And this time, God didn't part the river. He waited till they stepped out into the raging river. And at flood season, it flooded everywhere. It was a dangerous river in the flood season, but God was with them. Nor shall the flame scorch you. We have example after example after example in the Bible of God being with us. This shall the flame scorch you. It's a reference to Daniel, Daniel chapter 3. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace was exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, look. He answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God promises to be with his people no matter what. God does not promise to remove the fiery furnace from our life, but God promises to go through that fire with us. He is with us. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God is with us over and over and over. And friends, we should never fear what man can do to us. And we hear all kinds of talk on the news about things going on in the world, things going on in our country, things going on a few miles away from us. People are scared. Friends, when we are with God, he is with us. He himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is within us. John 14, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's within us. The Holy Spirit is within us. Not in some miraculous way, because we know the Holy Spirit, being a divine being, is in heaven where God is in heaven, but by faith he is within us. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? And Colossians 1:27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes it does that. I'll get our slides back up here. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. This is a beautiful section. This is a beautiful section of verses. And just thinking about him being within us, that he may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, length, and depth, and height. So where is your God? He is above us. He's around us. He's before us. He's behind us. He's beneath us. He's with us. He is within us. We have so much evidence of God. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day utter speech, night into night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from the end of heaven, its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The earth declares that God exists and he's everywhere. I apologize for this next slide. There's something, sometimes I'll just say things don't come out right from when I take it from home and put it on here. But where is your God? Now what I just told you would make a nice sermon if we stopped right there. But we need to make an application. Where is your God? The question I want to ask, are you pushing God out of your life? We need to stop and think about that. We read all those verses that said he's above us, around us, before us, behind us, beneath us, with us, within us. He wants to have a relationship with us. And what are we doing? You see, Jesus knows that who or what we worship has the ultimate authority in our lives. And we give ourselves in worship to who or what we believe has power to meet our needs. And then we arrange our lives to live by its rules and under its authorities. You see, God created us to worship. God created us to worship him because he is worthy of all honor and glory and power. We looked at verse after verse after verse that showed what he has done and where he is. God, by his very nature, demands worship. But when we give worship to some other object, and it's usually to ourself or to some idol, and it's not some idol like you read about in the Old Testament, what are the idols that people worship today? Money, fame, our job, education, recreation, our family. People worship those. Or they worship God. Where is your God? When the enemy asks that, we've got to ask ourselves, am I trying to push God away from me? Or am I trying to get as close to God as I can? And friend, God wants us to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because if we don't, then that leaves the door open for Satan to come in. And it's just like we talked about in class this morning with that son that went on a far journey and wasted everything that he had on prodigal living and with the harlots and everything else. That journey that he went on started one step at a time, one step at a time. And I would dare say it started before he even left the house. That far country started back in his mind at home when he wanted to leave the Father. His Father, his loving Father that was above him, around him, before him, behind him, beneath him, with him, within him. That Father that loved him. And he didn't say, no, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to let you do what you want to do, son. And the Father had to wait. He had to wait, patiently wait, and watch for his son to return. Where is your God? People will ask us that when something happens in our life. We got to understand, sometimes God calms the winds and the waves. Other times he brings us through the storm. It's not going to be clear sailing all the time. One of my brothers that is long gone, he used to say, Bruce, some people think they have special written right across their forehead. They want you to look at them and see that they are somebody special. Friends, we are nobody special. Sometimes God is going to calm the storm to show that he is God. Sometimes he's going to let that storm rage and pound till we think everything's going to be turned upside down. He's going to let that happen to show that he is God in the storm and carry us through that. Every once in a while, he calls us to get out of the boat and walk on the water with him. You think about Peter. And he did that. And then when he took his eyes off the Lord, what happened? He started to sink. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. And he's everywhere. It's not like God's trying to hide from us. At all times, Jesus cares. He always will give us his best. And the most important thing to remember when we are experiencing a storm is that Jesus is on our side and in our boat. We don't want to push Jesus away. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. And when we let anything other than Jesus take hold of our lives, we become its slave. And it binds us and it steals our peace. You go back to the list. What are we worshiping? Is it our job? Do we put our job above God? Do we put our family above God? And there are things when we become a Christian that we are to give up, but it's for our own good. And just like when Carol and I got married and Carol's family are not members of the church, and then when Sunday get-togethers came up and we would go and then say, we got to leave. What do you mean you got to leave? Our responsibility is with God. Our responsibility is with God. They may not understand that. They're never going to understand it if we stayed with them and engaged in everything that they engaged in. But we put God first, just like going into that far country is one step at a time. We put God first one step at a time with our family. We don't want our family to come before God. We don't want our job to come before God. We don't want our money to come before God. And God wants us to have a family. He wants us to have money. He wants us to have job. But he wants to be number one. And he's doing everything he can every day to let us know he is there for us. The question, are you at peace today? Is your life troubled? if it's troubled, you need to see where your affection is. And friends, so many people are trying to please somebody else. They're just trying to please somebody else. Friends, we need to live to please God, not people. You know, one day you will stand before Him and they will not be there. When I stand before Christ, before God in the judgment, my mother and father that I tried to please, they aren't going to be there. They aren't going to be able to help me. I'm going to stand on my own two feet. My bosses that I had, that I tried to please, they aren't going to be there. They aren't going to be able to speak for me and say, God, you got to give him a pass on this. I wanted him to do this. No. All of those people that we try to please, God is around us. God is the only one that can satisfy us. God has done everything for us. And we are the ones that turned our back on God and sinned and broke His law. And we deserve death and punishment right then. But God sent His own Son to die for us, to be that sacrifice for us. And then what do? Sometimes we try to, no, God, I don't want to get too close to you. No, God. No, God. Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. Exodus 34, 14. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. Friends, the God that I serve, the God that is God of heaven above and earth below, the God that I serve is a jealous God. He doesn't want me giving my affection to Satan. And if I do, what's Satan going to do? He's going to corrupt me. He's going to destroy me. He's going to kill me. And when I give all the love that I can to God, I'm still not deserving of what He's going to give me. He's going to forgive me of my sins, and He's going to give me a home with Him in heaven for time without end. Are you pushing God out of your life? We got to ask ourselves that. Now, in any crowd, there's four different types of people in a crowd. And I would dare say that these four types of people are here this morning. There's the lukewarm person. Friends, if you're lukewarm, it's time to pick your side now. You can't sit on the fence. You can't go to heaven sitting on the fence. Is it Jesus or the world? Backsliders. There may be some backsliders. It's time to repent and come back home. Unbelievers, it's time to repent and surrender your lives to God. And there are believers. And I pray that most of us here are believers. Friends, we need to stay encouraged and keep the faith. But what are people going to say? They're going to say, where's your God? What's He doing? Your God's not doing anything for you. Friends, we need to stay encouraged and keep the faith. We don't know when Christ is going to return. We need to be ready. Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Friends, if there's anyone here this morning that needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.